We're glad to see each and every one of you here this morning. Welcome to our adult Bible study hour. We are looking at Project 2025. That is our mission, vision and values, or really our vision, mission, and values for this year, and the things that are going to prompt us forward and kind of inform us on studies to come, on where to go books and preaching-wise to come, and where to go with ministry to come. That is our outreach. So that's why we're going through a lot of this, and we've got some cool things lined up for you today, which I have a lot of pencils for in case people need writing instruments. But in the interim, we have talked about a lot. We've talked about becoming a vibrant Christian community where people can encounter Jesus Christ, and that's really the goal, is to encounter Jesus Christ. When you walk through the door of any church, your goal is not just to encounter friendly people, although that's really a plus because you don't want to go anywhere that's not friendly. You kind of want to leave the second you walk in. But you want to encounter not just friendly people, but you want to encounter Christ. You want to encounter Jesus through others. You want to encounter the ministry of the Spirit. You want to encounter that thing which is going to meet you, not just head to head, but heart to heart. That's what you want when you walk into a church. And therefore, we need to be that vibrant Christian community where people encounter Jesus Christ. Why? What's the goal of that? So they can be empowered to live out their faith and actively serve the needs of those around them. That's been our vision. That's really long been the vision of any church, of any ministry, is to see that kind of outcome where lives are transformed and strengthened by both the love and grace of God. So we talked about our vision. We talked about its fivefold purpose. We also talked about our mission, that is how we're going to bring that vision to pass. What are the practical steps we're going to use to bring that vision to pass? Well, we're hoping to see reconciliation, man to God first, man to man second, through the proclamation of the gospel for the express purpose of man's conformity to the image of Christ. So with that mission comes our threefold mission statement. This is the practical things we do. Number one, we proclaim the gospel. We are gospel proclaimers. Everything about us proclaims the gospel. Our attitude proclaims the gospel. Our appearance proclaims the gospel. And most importantly, our words proclaim the gospel. I don't know how many times I've said this. You've probably heard it. It sounds like a broken record. But people have long been talking about building bridges to others, building bridges to the lost world, building bridges to friends and neighbors, building bridges to family that don't know Christ, building bridges. And what they do is they build this grand and glorious bridge and never once cross it. They're standing on one side and the lost world or their family and friends or whoever are standing on the other, and they're just waiting for them to want to come over. If I make the bridge attractive enough, they will come. If I make what's on the other side attractive enough, they'll cross and ask. And how often does that happen? Never! So it's not just building a bridge, it is you crossing that bridge to go get folks and bring them back over. So there's the proclamation of the gospel with our words, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a who? A preacher, a proclaimer. Someone who simply proclaims the gospel. And how shall they proclaim except they be sent out? Not drag everybody in. They be sent out. That's why you build that bridge and you go that way. We don't expect them to come this way. They be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So that's the first way we accomplish that vision. The second is that reconciliation piece. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Reconciliation. So we move to reconcile. We proclaim the gospel. God does his work. And then we move to see man to God reconciled. And then we turn that focus man to man and say, now we need to reconcile this way too. Why would we do both? Why would we do man to God and man to man? Beautiful. Because what is the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love who? That's the first. And then what's the second that's likened to it? You shall love others as others. God, others. It's right there in the law of Christ. That's why we do both. And that's why the scriptures point out both. And so there's a reconciliation piece that we move toward, and that's what this ministry was built on. That's what this ministry was founded on. 40 to 50 years, somewhere between there. What are we at, Pastor? 48, 49, somewhere? We've got to be in there somewhere. Over 50? I don't know where we are. 81? Was it 81? When did you... 78 you started. Okay. So you just got up, right? 88, 98, 2008, 2018. You got 40 at 2018. And then you move on. So you're looking at 47, 48 years roughly. Founded on one principle. To see that reconciliation take place. And how many people have swung through the door of the office, wherever that office was, whether here or elsewhere, or on the phone, now on Zoom, to be reconciled. To be reconciled. And then that last piece, reconciliation for what purpose? To be conformed to the image of Christ. Not to be as good as the best member of the church, the one everybody looks up to, whoever that is. Not to be like brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so who are admirable, who do things we wish we were doing. Not to have those great gifts that so-and-so has and so-and-so has that we don't seem to have. And not all of that. But to be conformed to the image of one person, which has nothing to do with our brothers and sisters. It is simply Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That we would all become like Jesus Christ. Why do we want to be like him?
Because the scripture tells you to.
Well, that's a great answer, but it's not the only one. That's a good start. Why do we want to be like him? Beautiful. Yes. Sinlessness, perfection, favor with God, direct act, all of these things are why? Restored to our original purpose. When it talks about God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, well, how many cools of the day did he walk? And how many times did he walk with these two? And did they talk? There was another example where Christ walked with two in the way as well, and it wasn't in the garden, it was on this earth, but it was after death. And he walked with them on the road to Emmaus. And what was their response? The same as Adam and Eve, I'm sure. Oh, how refreshed we felt. How awesome we felt when we walked with God. It was phenomenal. We want to be just like Christ so that we can have that direct access to God. In sinless perfection is the goal, which he will do for us one day. And so, conformity to Jesus Christ. We know all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Wow, that's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. Now, in all of this, what we did was we said, what were the challenges that need to be overcome? And, you know, we have this idea of becoming a vibrant Christian community, but there are challenges to that idea. And we talked about those. We have this idea that we want folks to, when they come through here, they don't want to encounter sports, they don't want to encounter the weather, they don't want to encounter just, you know, cheap Christian talk, they don't just want to encounter friendliness, they want to encounter Jesus Christ. But there are obstacles to that. We talk about empowering faith-filled living, but there are obstacles to empowered faith-filled living. We talk about actively serving, but there are obstacles to actively serving. Now, you have obstacles that come on two lines, right? You have physical obstacles and you have spiritual obstacles. Sometimes you might say you have mental, emotional, but I lump those into the spiritual category altogether. But you have obstacles. And when we come to our mission statement, we talk about proclaiming the gospel, but there are obstacles to that. We talk about reconciling to God and man, and there are obstacles to that. We talk about conformity to Christ, and there are obstacles to that. And the whole point is, we want to see evil overcome with good through the power of Jesus Christ. But we don't only want to see it to ourselves. We're not only here to be a vibrant Christian community for ourselves. Who are we here to be a vibrant Christian community for? In other words, what is the Great Commission and who are we out to? Go ye therefore where? And do what? To who? Us? You already have it. Now, it doesn't mean you can't be perfected in it, because every deep, significant spiritual truth of the most grand theological thing you could possibly think of all goes back to the simple basics of the gospel, every piece of it. So I know we already have it, and so we go, well, what are we going over that for? Well, because we grow in it. But the whole point is, there are folks to reach. So how do we know how to reach them? What are we going to do to reach them? Those are some questions we have. How do we know what our ministry ought to be within and without the church? How do we minister even to one another? Now, Pastor Craig, very kind soul, gave me a copy of a spiritual gifts inventory. Guess what we're going to do? Because I've had people say, you know, I have a pretty good idea of what some of my spiritual gifts may be. I have a really good idea. In fact, I may know what almost all of them are. But what I'd like to do is, because there are others in the church who say, but you know what? While I may have a good idea, I'm not sure I'm right. I don't know how to know. In fact, I don't even know if I know what mine actually are. I don't know if it's a natural gift or a spiritual gift, or if they're both a common. I don't know. So what I'd like to do is take a few moments to run through a very quick 47-question inventory. You say, 47 questions? Well, yeah, it's really quick. I'll tell you why. Because there are 47 statements on this paper. So this page is like 4 pages is all it is, front only, so there's no back. There are 47 statements, and these statements either do reflect you, or they don't reflect you. Or maybe they reflect you, and you're not really sure. But there's not a great lot of time in just trying to determine whether or not they do, because who knows you best? You. Well, actually, God knows you best, but you are the second person who knows you best. And you should be able to tell within seconds whether or not this statement accurately reflects you. Not whether you wish it did, or whether it really should, but does it? No one's going to look at this. So if your answer is, I really love God and want to give, and the answer is no, well, then mark no. I mean, nobody's looking at this. That's what I'm trying to say. But you'll know really quick whether or not these things reflect you, and then we'll talk about scoring. And then what we want to do is know, what does it appear by a simple test spiritual gifts might be. Yes, ma'am, Deb? Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, and it is a valid point. It's a very valid point. Because what are the two things man in his depravity will not do? Glorify God as God or be thankful. You hit it right on the head. Or be thankful. So there's a two-prong approach. Either we want to glorify God as God, or we want to be thankful, or we want both. So there are many different things that might be a motivator, or even just simply, I might not necessarily think of glorifying God as God, but because I want to please him simply out of love that he gave me, it is glorifying to him. I'm thinking of the motive of pleasure, but it's actually glorifying, or love. So there are a few different, yes, sir, Pastor?
Yeah.
That we do. So let me do this. Let me take a few minutes and pass this out. I apologize, Pastor Craig and Sherry, because I know you've taken this already. I know you've done this, so I don't want you to do it many years ago. But I'd love to know, because oftentimes what I found is that sometimes God gifts for a moment. In other words, sometimes these gifts come on you in a moment, and sometimes they change. Not sure if you're aware of that, but they do, or can. So they're not always once they're written in stone and that's all you get. So let me give this to you. If you need a pen or pencil, let me know, because I happen to have a whole handful of these things. I stole them from the back where we usually do the voting thing, so I got to put them all back. But if you need one, I have them. This is McCarthy. I trust that you're doing well. You're probably in the scoring stage of things, as most are. And I want to make 2 points quick before we close out, because our time is actually up. But these are simply indicators. This test is simply an indicator. It is not a foolproof measure, you know, because this test said it, that's what I got, and that's it. And this was my number one, that must be my number one. The number two cannot be my number one. It's only this one. It's an indicator, right? It's an indicator that you have these things. Where they actually fall, that's up to the Lord. But if we were to deal properly with our gifts, we would probably take our top three. I mean, you may have more than one that you're really close on. You may take your top three and really start to discover, what is this gift? How is it most often, and this is what we'll do in future lessons, how is it most often manifested? In other words, how do we see this? How do we know this? And then how is it practiced? How do we put it into practice to really minister to the body of Christ, number one, because spiritual gifts are to minister to one another, but so that body can be edified to go out and minister to others, number two. And that's really the goal of all this, is to really find our place of service, because if you remember, our vision is to actively serve the needs of those around us. How can we do that if we don't know where to plug in? Maybe how God has gifted us to plug in, where we're meant to plug in, and how it ought to manifest itself, or how these things can come forward. And so that's what we want to discover next as we talk about Project 2025, is we'll go through a couple of our core values later in future lessons, but also we'll dig into some of these gifts and we'll start to look at them and we'll look at their manifestations and ministries. How do we know we have them and what should we do with them? Because as Steve and I were talking earlier, the actual application of this is God has gifted everybody and you probably have more than one that are strong. You probably do. You've got a top, but you've probably got a couple that are, you know, one's a 12, one's a 10, one's an 8 or something like that. The whole point is God has gifted every man as he will, as the Spirit will. And with those gifts, he expects us to earn interest. It's the parable of the talents, right? He expects us to earn interest on those gifts. He expects us to earn interest on the things he gives us. Partly, he gives us the gospel, which he expects us to earn interest on by sharing it. That's the proclamation piece. Partially, he gives us gifts to minister to the body of Christ, to edify and build that body up and to do service to that body. That's the service piece, evangelism and service. And so we do not want to be the unfaithful steward who buries our talent in the sand. And I think what's funny is one thing that Steve actually mentioned, and not necessarily funny, but a really key point to stick out, is that the person who buried their talent in the sand blamed God or blamed the man who gave them the gift for burying that talent in the sand. What did he tell him? I buried it in the sand because you make me afraid. You make me afraid. You're very austere and punishing and exacting, and that makes me afraid. And so it is not the right kind of fear, right? Because the right kind of fear, or the godly fear that Corinthians talks about, breeds a whole different response. And so it's like godly sorrow. And so the ideal is we need to find out what these are, work with them, not bury our talents in the sand, but figure out how we can minister with these. All right, there is the bell. So there's our time this morning. Definitely take these with you. If you're not done scoring, look at them. Consider them as just a guidepost, not the foolproof point at all. This is what I got and that's it. But just consider what's here so that we know where to direct ourselves in the future. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the opportunity to do something very practical today. Thank you for reminding us of the gifts that you do so by your Spirit. And thank you for helping us at least get some kind of indicator of what they might be if we didn't know already. And Lord, thank you for confirming in our minds what they might be if we did, that we might now seek to plug ourselves in using them so we might actively serve the needs of those around us, whether it be in this body or out of this body. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed this morning.